B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Have you ever met a guy that's such a meathead? After 2 minutes of talking, you wanted him dead. Let me tell you a story of a guy named Zoe. He's under this illusion Tom Brady's his bro. First time I saw him was at a concert. He had messed up eyes and a messed up shirt. He jumped up on stage, acting like a punk, dancing like an ass. Damn, he was drunk. He yelled really loud that he was a QB, but when you Google his stats, it's really hard to see. He was a high school hero. This might be true. He played football in college at a really crappy school. He started talking smack, saying he was a pro. I'm a local legend known as the Zoe. Unicorn, show ponies, always on Twitter. He'll post anything, even selfies from the shitter. So I said, that's great. Good for you. Holding up a clipboard, it's really hard to do. You sat on the bench, you were Bledsoe's bitch. You rode so much pine, damn, your ass must itch.
Oh! Zoe, how can you believe that Brady is your friend? That Brady is your friend. Oh, baby, Zoe, how can you believe that Brady is your friend? Maybe Edelman could be your friend.
So I was thinking what Zoe would say in a song. He'll call me Busey. He's probably not wrong. But you were a bad QB and that's a fact. Like Sanchez, Tebow, Tannehill, Dilfer, Kramer. But wait a minute. They actually played. So no, they are better than you.
That Brady is your friend. That Brady is your friend. Oh, baby Zoe, how can you believe? Maybe Edelman could be your friend. He's always looking for friends. Oh, baby Zoe.
Is that it?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch from Rich radio program, Town Fair Tires Studios, 617-779-0985. Mike Flynn is in for Rich, who I just saw on Instagram is playing video games somewhere.
Yes.
Street Fighter.
He just had, they have those new three-quarter stand-up things that you can rent, and he has rented one. I would guess it would be for the Boston place, not the Cape place that he has. He's on the Cape this weekend.
Nantucket.
Yes.
Oh. Wait, so he's rented a video game for... But he's in Nantucket.
Yeah, and that's... I was just thinking out loud here. I don't know where this is. I don't think it's Nantucket. He rented it. Must have rented it for the Boston place.
All right. So he talked about this yesterday?
Not on air. I don't think it was on air. No.
Okay. So he rented a stand-up... Street Fighter. Now, how do you rent it?
I don't know.
You could. I've looked at different things for parties. They rent that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not hard to do. You know, the same place you go that have all kinds of, you know, tents, and you can rent video games. You can rent like skee ball machines.
Wait, can rent tents?
No,
tents for parties.
Yeah, tents for parties.
I thought it was like kayaks and stand up video games.
No. Yeah, they're definitely separate. Separate than that, but you can get like skee ball games. You can get like fair games, you know, like the bottle can or milk bottle game and all that kind of stuff.
So. Oh, well, so you can lose at home. Yesterday I had to go to the place where my son is going to have his bar mitzvah in 2 years.
Okay.
Nice. To reserve it?
To reserve it.
Oh, you tough,
get,
right?
Get I that mean, done two, early.
You got to get in early, right?
Oh, yeah. 2 years in advance, baby.
It's a big deal. Yep.
But now the thing is that they're still kids because they're, what, 13 when they get the bar mitzvah?
Correct.
Yes.
No, John, you did not have one.
Did not have one, no.
I'm not Jewish, and I knew that.
Yeah, well, neither am I, but I'm experiencing all this for the first time. But there was a time, there was a year period where there was like 45 bar and bat mitzvahs that you had to go to. Oof. But John turns, now, was there a conversation?
No.
In your home?
There was never a conversation.
You never went to Hebrew school?
Nope.
Did you go to synagogue?
My family was not religious at all.
But they sent you to Camp Young Judea.
I know that. And I think, looking back on it, and I didn't think anything of it, think anything was weird at the time, but my five best friends were all going to this place.
Okay.
And
they're like, you had five best friends?
Well, five guys I hung out with, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have five.
I used to be popular, and then
five best
that
friends.
Was it.
I mean, five best. We're the
five
best
guys.
Friends.
I knew the best. How's that?
I think sending your kid to some sort of religious camp or experience doesn't necessarily mean you're religious. I send I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
So I send kids to would be CCD. They call it something different now, where they go there 2 or 3 hours.
Catechism.
Yeah. But
you send them to the 2 and 3 hour one.
Yeah, there's one that, yeah.
Okay, so...
For no other reason to give me some peace after school. Because instead of coming home at 2:57, now they're coming home at 4:30.
Oh, yeah, they get their own bus.
They get their own bus.
They get their own bus to catechism. Oh, yeah.
Boy,
I know. Dropped off at now they call it prep. But yes, when I grew up, it was called
catechism.
Is that one word?
Yeah.
They call it prep?
Like...
prep for
God
what?
Prep, I guess.
Okay.
My wife
moral
was
prep.
My wife was such a nerd. That she went to Hebrew school twice a week, and then after her bat mitzvah, she still went to Hebrew school.
What?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I mean, every person I've ever run into, it's the big ramp up to the big finale. And once you perform and get that done,
that's it.
It's over. That's the reward.
Can
you think, not to have to do it anymore.
Can you think of a bigger waste of time?
Oh, my goodness.
In all the activities that you could be doing.
Oh, man.
Going to Hebrew school, past your bat mitzvah?
Not once.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a waste of money. Well, yeah, 13, right? So in the Catholic religion would be your first communion.
Okay.
But yet my kids still go. And I said to my wife, isn't that it? But apparently the Catholic religion, I think they keep dragging you to you get confirmed.
Okay, and how old are you when you get confirmed?
I think that's
is that like sophomore
16,
year? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they're smarter. So they, you know, they figured that out. They're going to drag you and force
Now, your kids do not object to this whole thing?
Because
I would have to imagine. See, my kids go to Hebrew school, but it's at a middle school. My kids have never been in a synagogue, but they go to Hebrew school. It's at this middle school, and it's basically a craft fair. I told you that I told you that there's like this guy that teaches him Hebrew. Like he's like the one guy who like floats around the classrooms, and he goes to me about my son. He goes, you know, I don't think Milo's doing his homework. You know, he's not very prepared. And I go, oh, no, he'll never be prepared. I told him straight up.
What's his homework?
I don't know.
To pray?
No. To learn Hebrew. But I'm like, he can't speak English. And I'm like, we got a lot of stuff going on, buddy. If you think I'm sitting him down and teaching him Hebrew, you got to know. I said to the guy to his face, I wasn't being a dick. I said to him, dude, this is it. I mean, I'm like, he's never going to learn.
So the bar mitzvah should be fun to watch.
Just spell it out phonetically now. They write it in English, or not in English. They write using English letters.
No, I understand that. And they're hyphens, and they write it out phonetically in Hebrew. I understand.
Oh, that's lame. So they don't have to learn it to do the whole the ceremony now? Don't they have to recite something from?
Well, I guess the spirit of it is you would take the actual Torah,
yes.
in Hebrew,
yes,
and you would have my wife memorized it in Hebrew.
Oh boy,
yeah, she was
memorized it.
Yeah,
everything's watered down.
A long haul?
Does
that's
she
tough
get
to
pissed
do.
that he should know he should learn Hebrew so when he does his bar mitzvah he has to do it.
Yeah. She really wants him to learn Hebrew.
She does, doesn't she? Because she had to do it. No, she doesn't care?
No.
Well, that's pretty good.
Listen, dude, school's hard enough. Like, you know, learn Spanish. You know, learn something that you're actually going to use.
Oh, you're not going to use Hebrew in the business world? Cross-border?
Depends on where you wind up in life, doesn't it?
I don't think Hebrew's used, though.
Sure, there are certain sections of certain cities that you need that.
So really, he doesn't. They don't have to learn Hebrew.
They played Israeli rap, which I believe is in Hebrew. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I came from a small town down in Dartmouth, Massachusetts. We only have a couple churches in that area. The one that I was going to actually graduated CCD in 10th grade. I found out that the other church you graduated in 8th, so I switched in 7th grade so I could graduate 2 years early.
Yeah, you're smart.
Smart.
Like, I don't think any kid's like, hey, let's go to CCT for 2.5 hours.
But I don't remember. I went to Catholic schools growing up.
Yeah.
So I couldn't escape it. We actually had religion class.
Yeah, sure.
So I had to do that 5 days a week. And then we went to church once a week.
See, in the city where I grew up, sometimes kids would like get in trouble at school and then they get sent to Catholic school. Like if you were like a troublemaker, they would.
Yeah, we had those kids. It was a choice by my parents. Lucky me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's far more disciplined.
Well, in theory, it is disciplined, but the amount of bozos that went to my school, I think it's on par. Maybe not like a public school, but there was a lot of bozos in there.
Yeah, but they're stricter. They have the ability to be more strict.
Yeah, and they have the ability to, I guess, kick you out.
So my grandfather was Catholic, very, very, very Catholic. And he was essentially in the care of his aunts due to the death of his mom and the fact that his father was involved in organized crime. So so he was on Long Island, and he was left-handed, and they would just whack his left hand if he tried to write with it. And then, like, tie it behind his back and, like, do all this stuff. So it seems like that was pretty good.
Well, that's, like, my father's era. Like, probably that's, like, because he went to Catholic school, too. Like, probably, like, 60s and 70s. I got to tell
you. This is, like, the 30s. 20s.
Oh, 30. Oh, it's even worse.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, worse than probably for my
father. Dude, they wouldn't let you write with your left hand.
No, I know. Amongst other things you couldn't do.
Is there anything in the Bible about your left hand?
Well, no, but I'm sure you can dig it up somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's not too hard. It depends how you interpret it.
Yeah, if you take out the magnifying glass. Yes.
I could look up anything right now.
You could probably find a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, they would beat the hell out of his left hand. I
wonder why Catholic school's got a bad rap.
Well, I don't think they do now.
No, now. Well, you know what it was? They used to have a lot. When I went to, this was probably in the 80s, they had a lot of, it was all nuns.
Yeah.
So there was totally different, like, wasn't like your lay person that grew up not under the black cloud of the Catholic religion about how you can't do anything,
right.
Rigid, uptight, you know what I mean? Yeah, we're going to take it out on the kids.
My mom went to a Catholic school, and if you didn't have clean fingernails, they would hit you with a ruler every day they checked.
I had to cut my hair. I got a call at me and this kid, Greg Demersky. Hey, come down to the office. And our principal, Sister Joseph Michaels, she never got up from the chair. She had to be 400 pounds. Scary as hell. Huge. And she said, Michael, get in here. She literally took a ruler to the back of my hair. Said, you need to come in with this cut. So I go home and tell my parents, thinking, like, I'm not going to cut my hair. They made me cut my hair.
Of course you're going to make you cut your hair.
I mean, that's what I went through my glam rock phase. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Who didn't? Oh, God, I had long
hair. There was a time, like in 2000.
You don't want to see those.
Yes, and this is the 2000, like, where parents would actually listen to you. At 2000, like, parents would listen to you and go, like, maybe the teacher's not right. No, no. The teacher was always right.
No, back then, teacher always
right.
Dad, they're making me come here. Yeah, cut your hair. You're not serious, are you?
And it's funny because, like, in retrospect now, my parents were like, wow, some of these teachers were terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, thanks. You could have listened to me. All right. I have to do it. Listen, we'll talk about Taco, and then we'll talk about the trade. But that's all about what happened last night. Tomorrow, I have to do something I'm really looking forward to. We'll get into that. My daughter has, like, 85 birthday parties, and each one's more terrible than the last. So we'll talk about that as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Up.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm going to say that Flynn is an honorary b-ball boy, so I'll let you and Wallet kind of take the wheel on this, even though I understand what's happening, is that Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Houston Rockets for the crippling Chris Paul contract and some first-round picks that are protected and some are not protected, and the years on them.
Don't forget the pick swaps. Very important you include those.
Pick swaps.
So the idea is that the pick swaps are in the future when they believe that Houston will suck. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, so they pick up Chris Paul. Now, is Chris Paul a commodity that can be traded based on his age and salary?
No.
Maybe in a couple of years. I guess, I mean, the play was for the draft picks.
Right.
And they save $44 million.
Yeah, and they get out from under. It's 1 year earlier that they get out from under the monster contract. Paul's contract ends 1 year earlier than Westbrook's
does. But Westbrook is clearly the better player. Whether he fits in with Houston or not.
No. I can't wait to watch that team.
I know Harden's going to be like, what?
I can't wait to watch them play.
Are they buddies? I know they play together, but are they buddies?
Okay. Yes, they are
So
friends.
They're buddies.
The idea is Westbrook wanted to play with Harden based on their experience in OKC.
But the two of them, I mean, they both demand the basketball 95% of the time.
Yeah, whether it works, that's a whole
and
other
Houston
story.
Is a three-point shooting offense. Westbrook is not a good three-point shooter.
No, nor can't a good shoot, foul period. Shooter.
But they get out of Oklahoma City, I think once Paul George left, pivoted and said, we got to get out of it. But they save, you know, Paul's deal's horrible, but Westbrook's got 4 years left. Paul only has three.
Okay.
So that third year of the deal, Chris Paul, potentially at some point, maybe you could trade it off. You know, somebody's trying to dump salary or something like that, or one of these teams take salary. But you do get a couple. They're 1 through 4 protected, I saw.
Yeah. Oklahoma City has decided to blow it up. They trade Chris Paul for a bunch, like 5 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps, and then they get this haul for Westbrook, protected or not protected. I mean, there are worse ways to go about rebuilding your franchise. I mean, they've blown it completely up, but they have at least 2 first-round picks for the next 7 years. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, Sam Presti did a pretty good job.
Well, the idea is
considered.
But the idea is you can't use all those picks.
Probably not. And even if you can't, if you decide, okay, we're a couple of players away, you can unload 4 or 5 of them to get the one big player that you want.
Right.
I mean, there aren't any real cap crushers on your team right now. It's Paul and Steven Adams, or Dragan Mekakopoulos. Sorry.
Yeah, Dragan Mekakopoulos ain't going nowhere. He's got firm roots in OKC right now.
That's right. He's making over $20 million. So,
$25
million. Yeah.
Would they be able to move him?
I think they tried. I don't think they could.
I would think... Everyone
was
available.
He's too much of a fan favorite.
Yes.
Greg Mekakopoulos was too much of a fan favorite. They wouldn't get rid of him.
Correct.
But yes, that Houston is going to be a very interesting team to watch.
I really need to watch a lot of those games because one of those guys is going to have to sacrifice his offense. I assume it's Westbrook because he's coming to Harden's team. But
here's what I would think, right?
And they both play forever. I mean, they both play big minutes. So
I told you that Houston is the team that if it's on, it's the only team that I'm really watching in that Harden is one of the most fascinating basketball players I've ever seen in my life. Like, he just gets the ball and shoots it from wherever he is. I mean, he shoots it from...
There's skill to it, but it's like, just give him the ball and get the hell out of the way.
Right, no, there's skill to it.
I find it is interesting to watch, but I do find it frustrating because of the number of threes. And it's not like... If Harden's on, right, and he has one of those games where he drops 50, that's entertaining. But in general, it's not the most entertaining game of basketball. But him, the way he plays is pretty fascinating.
No, it's fascinating because he'll shoot from just inside a half court. I mean, he just puts it up from
anywhere.
That's
the offense at the end of games for Harden to shoot 35 or 40 footers. You saw it in the playoffs last year. I mean, everyone gets out of the way. Harden takes 20 or 22 seconds off the shot clock and then launches with 3 guys on him.
Yeah.
Now, he makes a lot of them. Good for him. But now you have 2 guys like that. If I'm one of the other 3 guys, they have one of the best 3-point shooters in the league on that team. He might as well just go sit on the bench. He's never getting the basketball from either of those 2 guys.
Here's what I would think with Westbrook, right? You're making $44 million a year. And in Oklahoma City, he was the guy. and Paul George wanted to leave, Durant wanted to leave. There's a reason for that. Some of it could be the town, the city. But if you're making that kind of money, you get your, like, why wouldn't you just take a backseat? What does it matter? Like, if you think potentially you could win, and they could. I mean, they still got some talent there. That West is wide open. Like, why wouldn't you just take a backseat and just try to fit in? Now, the ego won't allow it. You've never had to. I understand that. But you would think it's – but he's won an MVP. He's got a supermax. I don't even think anybody else in the league has one of those supermax contracts.
The other thing is Westbrook's 30. I mean, this is it. This is his best chance. He's not getting traded again with that contract. I mean, he either wins in Houston or he's 35 and finished.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Houston's going to trade him. It seemed like a little move of desperation, but I guess if Harden and Paul weren't getting along, and if you're Houston, right, you got the better player, and you're really only on the hook for one more million at that point. In 4 years, that team's going to be in shambles anyway.
Yeah.
So it's probably, it's a good move on both parts.
Yeah, I mean, it fulfilled both sides in what they're trying to do. Houston wanted to compete. Westbrook's a much better player than Paul at this point. Even though he may or may not fit into the offense, and Oklahoma City unloaded everyone they wanted to unload and got a bunch back. I mean, this is Danny Ainge stuff. This is, you know, I'm going to have first-round picks forever.
Well, hopefully it works out a little bit better in the long run than it did for Mr. Danny Ainge.
The question is, Oklahoma City, the fans are nuts. I mean, they supported that team for, 10 years since they moved from Seattle? Longer? I mean, they're crazy fans out there. Are they going to show up on a Tuesday night in February to watch what's left next season?
Like, I don't even know enough about Oklahoma City to make fun of it.
I do.
Okay, so because you've been out there.
I've been there.
What's it like?
It's
backwoods a little bit?
It's the city is...
It's like Winnipeg.
Yes, actually, that's a good comparison. I mean, there's nothing there. You get outside the main city limits, it's flat and it's endless. And there's nothing out there. I mean, the city itself, downtown area, I didn't see much. I really didn't.
Because you never hear of Oklahoma City.
No.
Like, even, like, for those kind of states, you hear, like, Boise, Idaho. You hear about, like, Lincoln, Nebraska. You don't often hear about Oklahoma City.
So maybe that's why they stay, though. What else are you going to do?
The people that live there love it there. No one will say, you know what, I'm going to retire. I'm moving to Oklahoma City. You know, it's just one of those places in central USA that, like, a way station to go somewhere else.
I have a loser friend that moved that has he filed for bankruptcy when he was like 30 for no reason because he couldn't figure out anything. But then for some unknown reason, he moved from Atlanta to Omaha, Nebraska. Good luck getting laid there because everyone's been dating since they were 12. So, like, you have basically no opportunities whatsoever to meet anybody who's single.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, because if you're staying in Omaha, it's not like, you know, Omaha, like, people are moving.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're sticking around.
They don't know any better, so they stay.
Yeah, it's Jack and Diane. Yeah, they're perfectly happy. They like it. You know, the University of Nebraska, you know, big fans. But I'll tell you, yeah, you're not meeting a lot of girls. So there you have it. There are this NBA season in the West should be very interesting. A lot of two-star teams as you head in there. And it'll be interesting to see if Chris Paul sticks around.
Well, he doesn't have a choice. I mean, that's the thing.
But Oklahoma City could, I guess, attach a couple picks and move him. But.
Yeah, they're going to have to sell big to get rid of him in that contract. I mean, they're out from under one extra year as we were just talking about, and that helps them, you know, kind of revamp things. But I mean, Paul has landed in a pile of mediocrity. It's just Paul and Dragan Mekakopoulos and just guys.
I mean, they probably they have enough capital to flip a couple picks if they want to dump his salary, but you got to pay somebody. And if you're going to stink anyway, why waste the number one picks? You might as well keep him around for a couple years.
Yeah.
I mean, he may put butts in the seats. Oklahoma City said there's nothing there. You know, maybe he's kind of a star. I guess I use that loosely. And plus with Presti's done a pretty good job of, like, drafting, so maybe he gives that fan base hope.
That's true.
So they may show up.
I mean, there's no place to go.
All right, we're going to do our daily check-in with Taco. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, and Mike Lockhart, it is our daily time for Summer League.
Talking Taco!
I don't know where he found his raining tacos, nor am I sure that I approve. But nonetheless, 7'6" Taco Fall, a man that they said was too tall for the NBA. If you told me 20 years ago that they would say someone was too tall for the NBA, I would have said, you know what? Get out of my sight, you moron. But here is Taco Fall. He is the king of the Summer League. Semi Ojeleye was jettisoned. They believe that this could be a Taco Fall move.
It was Gersen Yabustelli.
Oh, I'm sorry. How dare I get the two mixed up. But nonetheless, Taco Fall.
12 points, 8 rebounds last night, Fred.
12 points, and he was a plus 3.
Yep. And 17 minutes.
17 minutes. They're working him, and pretty soon, I mean, look out. Robert Williams, you might think that you have that leadership.
Oh, I don't know. Robert Williams had a much better game last night.
Well, not Taco Fall is a fan favorite. No, what you do is, you dress up Taco Fall, you put him at the end of that bench,
yep.
And it reminds me of my days in Detroit where Chuck E. Cheese, Mr. Chuck Nevitt, was at the end of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And you just knew.
Yep.
Sell T-shirts.
Yep. He just had a mustache, and he was goofy looking. He could barely move. But I'll be damned if he wasn't 7'3".
Chuck Nevitt had that stash, huh?
How great
was that mustache?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was disturbing in a way because it wasn't quite a Hitler mustache, but nor was it.
A little bit bigger. Yeah, if you shim that off by like a couple centimeters, then it gets very questionable.
It's like who was the good coach of the Bruins right before what's his face came in?
Oh,
Dave Lewis.
Yeah, Dave Lewis, right.
Dave Lewis was screwing around with a Hitler mustache. Like,
that was just a bad time in team history.
Yeah, was the year I had season tickets.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, Dave Lewis, yeah. If he was one mistake away from having a Hitler mustache, of having to get that thing away from him. But did you watch the game, Johnny?
I watched highlights. The game started at 10:30 last night, so I did not watch the game.
All right. This is someone who's calling himself the Spike King. Hello, sir.
What's up, my guys? What's going on?
What's up?
Taco Fall is going to be the real deal this upcoming year for the Boston Celtics. First of all, he is like the superstar out there in the Summer League.
Yes.
Celtics are now 4-0 with him on that bench. Like you're going to say this, too. He's not going to be a starter coming up this year or anything like that. It's going to take him time to develop, but it's all about the situations. Stick him out there for an inbound pass. Just put him out there for, last play to grab a rebound. But this guy, I got to meet him out there, me and GRD acting like fools out there in our taco costumes. He loved it. He loves every single second of it. And if he's at the TD Garden, that place is going to get rocking for Taco Fall.
Wait a minute. You were one of the guys who dressed up as the taco?
Yeah, that was me and Green Run Deep Man.
Wow.
We're always out here.
There you go.
All right.
Those are the two guys.
Wow,
there you go.
My goodness.
Congratulations.
Well, maybe you're helping a little bit getting Taco Fall.
I'm trying to do whatever I can for people back in Boston to recruit him over here. I actually bumped into him at the Wynn Casino afterwards, and he just loves that all the feedback, like the Celtics IG and Twitter always posting about him. Everyone's always talking about him. So,
well, listen, you're doing yeoman's work, my friend. Thank you for that.
Taco Tuesdays, baby. Every single Tuesday, that's upcoming NBA season. Let's get it.
All right, there you go. I like keeping a guy in the roster for inbound passes defense.
I mean, what are you getting paid for that? I could do that. I'm a pretty good passer.
No, you would have to defend. You
defend,
would
that's the idea.
Oh, defend.
Ball out
the ball
underneath,
in.
A big play. Now,
the problem is you can move.
That's true. If the guy can run the baseline, Taco's in trouble. Yeah. But if it's a sideline inbounds play,
right.
Then
oh my God.
He can defend.
Yeah, if I'm on the baseline.
People are beautiful, aren't they? This guy's 7'6", and now, did you see that line? to get his autograph. Did you see the video?
Yes.
There's a line in Vegas to get his autograph.
Yes, around the corner, around the block.
It was absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
How weird is it that being 7'6 is an oddity now in the NBA? That, I mean, this, again, 10 years ago, is being 7'6 like a huge oddity?
No.
Not to this degree.
No. 10 years ago, you had guys that were 7'2, 320 pounds, and that was considered. You wanted a guy like that. You were searching for guys like that.
Playing on the
and
block.
Now, you need 6'10 athletic mobile guys.
And guys that could shoot three. I mean, 7 foot guys, I mean, they're always kind of an oddity, right? Like big guys like that, they're taken aback. But in today's NBA, but the fact that he's 7'6, I mean, you're talking even the heyday, who they have, like Manute Bol, Murison was there for a while. I mean,
Yao Ming.
This guy, Yao Ming, but this guy's a real freak of nature in terms of height, right? Like, I mean,
plus
even,
he's not like
the name
a stick.
Has something to do with it, though.
No,
too.
No, he's 310, 320 pounds. Yeah, he's an enormous individual.
Yeah, he's not like a stick.
Right. What does he do, honestly? I feel like when he gets into a regular season, he's going to get pushed around.
That's specifically, I mean, that's why he didn't get drafted. That's why he's probably going to wind up in the G League. Well, I hope the Celtics do have the roster spot. Maybe you can stick him at the end of the bench.
But if I put him in the G League, that means that I want to develop him in some way, and I don't think that that's necessary.
I think it's developing his athleticism. The guy's 7'6", he can dunk without jumping. I mean, the offense and rebounding speak for itself. He didn't have to do all that much. He can push a lot of other guys around. The question is, can he get out to the perimeter and contest people?
No, he can't. And so, but that's
maybe that's how you try and develop him.
Here's why you don't want him.
I don't know.
You don't want him in the end of the bench because it's going to start to get like the Scal effect. At the end of every game with 2 or 3 minutes left, you know, you're up big or down big, there's going to be the taco chance.
Sure.
So to get him on the game.
That gave Scal a whole night. Scal hated it. And I will tell, listen, I am not a bragger. You know that, Flynn. I am not one to brag. But Scalabrine hated that. Remember? He hated that.
Oh, you'd have to.
And then we brought him into the fold here, and he realized that it was out of love. It wasn't complete sarcasm. He embraced the role, and now look at him. Mm-hmm. He's not able to come on our show
anymore. Too big to come on with us, yes, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's a natural progression. I haven't reached that point yet.
Well, he's still
on too trying.
I would if I was too good to come on the show. I haven't reached that yet.
Well, it's funny because he did a Rolling Stone article, and he goes, yeah, you know, it all started on my show in Boston.
I know. I read that show. I'm like,
even asked him about it.
Yeah, Scal.
Come on.
Scal completely. That blew right. That was, he just blew by us. He just like, we're a speed bump.
My show in Boston. Yep. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, if I ever hit it big, I would certainly reference Toucher and Rich. I wouldn't just say my show in Boston.
Well, you had a show. You have a show.
Well, yes. I mean,
No. But you have a show.
Yes.
He never had anything resembling a show.
No.
No, he never filled in. He never.
So Taco Fall, if he is this, 15th guy on the roster, could be good for the show. I mean, Tuesdays.
That push would be made immediately.
That's a no-brainer.
Fall's on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's no.
I mean, that has to be done.
If they sign him to a full contract and he's on the team, that would be the first call our boss would make. Absolutely.
I think even if he's in the G League, have him on.
Okay.
I think so, too.
I just think you have Taco Fall on.
I don't think he makes it. I don't think he sticks in the NBA. I mean, I think he's entertaining. I think it's...
No, that's the whole point.
But I don't know if he'll... You know, how... If it's sustainable. You know, like it's summer league and people are going nuts.
No, all this does is make him eligible to be brought into training camp. He's done enough that the Celtics will invite him to training camp.
Yes.
That's all this is. And that's all you're looking for in the summer league. Otherwise, you would have drafted the guy and signed him. I mean, congratulations. You passed the first test. We'll see you in October.
All right. We will be back and I will inform you of what I have to do tomorrow. That's it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No
parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yo, man, I don't think they heard you. Won't you tell them what your name is?
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. 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 Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Bob Doubleina.
98.5 Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Let's go to Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to let you guys know Taco Fall is already in the Hall of Fame in Springfield.
Oh, really? He's already made the Hall of Fame based on his...
He is. His big shoes.
Oh, really? You're not lying. His big shoes are in the Hall of Fame.
They are, sir. Yes, they are.
All right.
But you know Rich.
All right. Well, Rich isn't here. You're like everyone else who thinks the show is Rich Toucher, which is which is a big thing that's happening now.
Really?
They think that I'm Rich Toucher.
I never thought you'd be the underappreciated one of the...
No, I don't know if it's... I don't take it that way. They just...
Oh, you don't? Oh, they just...
No, they just think that it's Rich Toucher. They think that I am Rich Toucher.
Oh.
And so, yeah, that's been happening a lot.
Interesting.
More often than you would think, yes.
I like that name, though. Rich Toucher?
Yeah.
That's a radio name. Or more like Weatherman or something.
Yeah.
News guy.
So there you go.
Hey, so the Funk Fridays now, has that turned into more of an old school type of rap Friday?
I haven't updated the songs. I'll have to do that this summer. But it started off as I had explored the samples of very popular rap songs, and then I have turned it into, I got bored of that, so I started mixing it up. But I have not put a new song in like a year and a half. So my daughter's birthday was on Wednesday, and before that, because you have to have the party for the kids before summer starts, because if you don't, then no one can come. So she has that party. Then Wednesday, she has people over and she receives her gifts. She has a small group of people over and receives gifts. And now tomorrow, I am forced to be going horseback riding.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Now, that's a disaster.
Now, here's the question.
It's a disaster.
First of all, Christopher, and I'm not joking. Like, all I think about is Christopher Reeve. That's all I think about. And,
Christopher Reeve, though, was an avid equestrian. He's probably, like, hauling ass through different trails and everything. You're going to be on, like, a...
But Flynn,
trained horse is just gonna basically...
No, I understand. Well, first of all, they're animals. They're stupid animals.
They could always... There's always a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance they could start bucking and throwing
horses.
Fists.
I never got along. Don't do it. Well, I hate horses.
I did it in Gila years ago,
man.
And there were these guys, you do it on the beach, and I was so uncomfortable that these guys were like smoking behind a hotel that like worked there. That they were looking at me and pointing and laughing, not even trying to hide it. Oh. They were just pointing and laughing at me. But here's the thing with Christopher Reeve, and again, I'm not making fun of Christopher Reeve. I'm dead serious about this. Is the speed of which you're going a factor if you fall off the beast? Because the length of, say, I run off a building, okay, is the impact more than if I just fall off the building?
I think the speed would be a factor
in that it would be
if you just fell off. Like if it starts bucking, it's going to whip you off. I think it's irrelevant. But my thought would be if you're just trotting along and you happen to lose your balance and fall, I think speed would matter there. But if the horse gets
is there a
spooked,
physicist listening?
Yes,
617-779-0985.
If an object is in motion, it tends to stay in motion.
Right. Because
but you get what I'm trying to say. I feel like if you fall off, speed may be an issue. But if the horse gets spooked and you get whipped off or you come from a certain height, that could be just as dangerous as if you're just speed.
Because it's the same height. So, but I don't want to look like a puss. So I have to mount the beast. And it's going to be like 90, and I got to wear pants because they got ticks all over them.
You're a better man than I. I would say.
So is this
sorry,
at
not going horseback riding
like an equestrian center, or are you? Is this something like out in the like? Where are you doing this?
I don't
like,
know. They just rope them up, and then we go out and
they just get some wild horses.
Yeah, we just ride the plains. We break them. They're like, all right, you guys are breaking Newton. No, these are now people. Yes, people, please call in. And since you're physicists, Bird's going to get these calls in right away. But the thing is that they do. My daughter's nine. I mean, they allow her Girl Scout troop did it. Like, you know, and they like sniff each other's asses and like, you know, go around and around. But there are two factors. Is one that they can throw a fit because they're dumb animals. And two, they're so high up that if you fall, I mean, you can't brace your fall. I mean, and there is there's an opportunity there for severe injury. Now, if I broke my leg, that wouldn't be so bad because they would have to give me a chauffeur here at the radio station.
The Maz treatment, yes.
Yeah, like Maz didn't have to drive to work for like
hours. Tore his Achilles and Maz got like a limo for like 6 months. Or
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so that, which would be the greatest thing ever.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Because I'd have insurance have to pick up the limo and I'd never be a designated driver. I'd never have to worry about anything. Yeah. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, it's all about height. I mean, if that thing bucks and shoots you up in the air and then you fall, it's all height. I mean, you can tuck and roll out of a car as long as you don't jump up. I mean, they say bicycle crashes, everything is about, like, you're sitting up on a bike and you fall down and smack the pavement. It's all height. So, yeah, even if it's not moving, that's terrifying. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, I got to do it. I mean, if a nine-year-old's doing it.
I'll do it. I can't tell you enough how much I hate
this. They make bikes now that like you can't touch the ground. Like they, when you stop, like your feet don't touch the ground, which makes absolutely no sense to me.
Why?
Why? I don't know why they do it, to make it more difficult.
Is it a road bike or an off-road bike?
No, the stupid $100 bike I bought when my kids. You know my kids can't ride bikes. Brian, go ahead.
Fred, what's up? So listen, don't do it. I've seen it firsthand. I went up to Castle in the Clouds, me and a girlfriend at the time. We're doing the little the pony ride, and the guy says, hey, you guys seem pretty good. Why don't you guys try galloping? Like, all right, that sounds great. So the girl behind me doesn't hold on to the reins tight enough because she's supposed to hold the reins pretty tight. She ends up kicking the horse. She goes flying through the woods, like disappears, gone into the woods. Little did she know, she falls off the horse, smacks into a tree. She looks like Ray Brower from Stand By Me laying in the woods. We stand over, we're like, oh, my God. She sits up and she goes, what happened? And I said, that was probably the closest you've ever come. So firsthand, don't ever do it. It's terrifying.
Yeah, that's the thing is that they say they break them, but they're savage beasts. Well, I mean, you could have a dog at your house that you fed and loved and never...
And it cracks, right?
And it can crack on you.
I mean, these horses have been trained. They're fed. Like, there's a relationship with the trainer. They're used to having people on their back and dealing with different people, right? I mean, it's not like they get this horse and all of a sudden the first day he's got 12-year-olds on his back.
Right.
But with that said... We've seen in everything, right? All these animals that become domesticated or they're in different shows and they just crack, whether it's a bear.
Oh, yeah,
or
like
a
the lion.
Yeah, like the lion. Well, the lion.
Freed him, right.
Yeah, the lion, the bear. Like, just when you think that they're trained, it's safe, and you let your guard down, that's when, in this case, the woman goes galloping through the woods.
I'm not joking. I'm nervous. About something that eight and nine year old girls just did.
Kids are fearless. They don't know they have anything to lose.
My kids have plenty.
But I've never been on a horse, so I couldn't tell you.
You don't grow up in my house and not have fear.
Well, that's like kind of genetic fear.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They wake up with fear.
Yeah. No, if they don't, it's installed in them.
But
quickly.
No, my grandmother.
I really can't. I could see. You know, I could see that you telling bedtime stories.
I try to project that guilt and fear and depression. I try to instill confidence in them.
Sure, you do.
When I do, when my
who are you to talk?
When, no, exactly. I'm agreeing.
Saying, it's not like you're much different than he is.
Me and you are the same, man.
When I
you're aware of the household.
When I was a boy, and my dad would be late for work, and my grandmother was visiting. I swear to God, you can have my mom on the phone. I swear on a stack of Bibles. She go, Freddy? And I go, yeah. And she goes, I think your father died. He's 15 minutes late. Do you think he died? This was real conversation.
How old were you?
I don't know. Old enough to go, you're insane.
Oh, my God.
Well, no. Old enough to know that this is, like, not proper. But, like, she didn't scare me into thinking my dad was dead. I was just like, what the hell's wrong with
Fred?
You?
Do you want him dead?
So you know what he would do is he would go to a bar after work so he didn't have to deal with his mother and leave me there to suffer the slings and arrows.
Oh, my Lord.
I swear on a stack of Bibles.
But can you blame him?
No, I don't care.
You know? No. He wouldn't want to come home and deal with his mother.
He said, do you think your father's dead?
Yes, and it happened on multiple occasions. It happened over at least 20 times.
Well, that's good. That's good bedtime stories for you.
But it didn't bother me because I was just like, insane.
No, but the first time we were like, I don't know, is he dead?
No.
Never thought he was dead.
See, I'm surprised. The smart-ass part of you said, you know, probably. We'll see in the morning.
No, I didn't think he was dead because he was a half an hour late coming home. No, I saw all the other things that could have happened. I don't know, traffic.
Yeah.
Flat tire. Yeah,
He stopped for a beer. He stopped for a beer. No, she didn't get me all wound up because he was now.
No, my point is you just jerk her chain at this point. And after the first 17 times she asked you, you know what? Probably. It's your job now to take care of me for a while.
All right. One more call on the horses, and then I know we're running late. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys, you don't need to be scared about riding horses. Just get up on them. They're nothing to be scared of. You have to be confident. I used to train horses out in Arizona for a few years, and you fall off, you just get back up. That's all you got to do.
Easier said than done after you fall off.
He said you have to be confident. Yeah, have you ever been confident, Fred?
I have confidence in some situations, not when I'm riding a wild beast.
You got to show that horse who's boss.
Yeah.
Slap it on the ass and say, all right, there, cowboy, here we go.
Yeah.
Walking out with chaps on, spurs on the boots.
Plus, I don't want to be there. All right. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines. I'm not replaying anything. Everyone calm down. But I do have something from yesterday's show that I have not heard that we are going to revisit.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.